This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, back on the show, Joe Zagacki, Danny Garcia, our producer. A little Hurricane Hotline roundtable. We have with us our post-game host and Locked On Canes host, Alex Dono. Dono, how are you tonight?
Hey, Joe, I'm doing so well. I'm just happy football's almost back. Fall camp is here, so we're getting into the full swing of things now.
Yep, no question. Our sideline reporter is doing just that right now. I believe he's on the sidelines. Joshua Darrow, how are you?
Yep, I switched sports though. We called an audible. Me and Rebecca called an audible. I'm now watching Parker, my younger son, at his basketball practice. So. Oh. Yes, I am. I'm just rounding in the form, Joe. Just rounding in the form, getting ready.
Dono's going to be reporting on your son as a football recruit here in a couple of years.
Yeah,
Alex, I want to tell you this. It's God's honest truth. I brought my older son. So my younger son plays basketball, older son plays football. Brought my older son, I think, to the Legends camp, you know, just so we could kind of see what it looks like. And I swear on my life, he turns, points across the way and goes, and he's pointing at you, Alex, and he goes, isn't that the guy from YouTube?
Well, tell him thank you. That's awesome.
You got it. You got it.
All right, fellas. We're a week and a half into camp, second week of camp. I think we've established they are a bigger team. I do think they're going to be a faster team. I think that's going to lead to some bigger plays on offense and probably on defense as well. I caution everybody, you know, expectations are always crazy. I will say I think that Van Dyke has had a really good camp. Hopefully that carries over. I don't think I'm overhyping that. I think he's made some great throws. What have been some of, Alex, some of your observations?
Well, I'll start with Van Dyke. I was out there today and, you know, watching the first, you know, portions of drills out there, and I thought Van Dyke looked really sharp throwing the football downfield. And I think I've seen this not only from TVD, but from all three of the scholarship quarterbacks. There seems to be a progression, which is something you want to see, where all of them, to me, have looked a little bit better with every practice I've watched so far. You touched on the size a little bit, Joe, and I want to go in depth on that, because specifically, when I look at the cornerback room, that, to me, is an area that's been revolutionized with length, right? I mean, you think about going up against a lot of high-octane quarterback play in the ACC, some big receivers out there. I think about Johnny Wilson at 6'7" at Florida State. You need to have some size at corner. I look at Jadeus Richard, 6'2", transferred in from Vanderbilt. Devontae Brown, 6'2", transferred in from UCF. Damari Brown, who's about 6'1", pushing 6'2". Not to say that, you know, there aren't more solid corners in that room, but I see the size specifically from those guys really standing out. And then on the speed as well, I think we're going to get a better idea how the speed looks once we, you know, watch Canes Fest this weekend. We get some of the scrimmages in the Miami-Ohio game, but we know Tyler Harrell is fast. He runs a 4.24. We know Christopher Johnson is fast, the freshman running back. I don't know how much he's going to play his first year, but they'll maybe find some ways to get him on the field. He's got bona fide track speed. Robert Stafford, one of the young cornerbacks, is extremely fast. And all the linebackers they brought in are really quick, and that's an area, Joe, where they brought in a lot of size as well at linebacker. I look at a guy like KJ Cloyd, who's, you know, 22 years old, transferred in from Louisville. He looks the part. You know, Wes Bissaint looks like he's put on some size on his body. Kiko Maui-Goa, who transferred in from Washington State, looks really good. So I would venture to say that there looks to be more size, more depth, and hopefully more speed on that field. So I'm with you, Joe, cautiously optimistic. I preach patience to anybody who will listen. But, you know, I think that the roster is going to be deeper, bigger, and stronger this year.
I think Johnson, at the very least, will be able to help on special teams because he can really fly. Josh, you spent time with the offensive coordinator, Coach Dawson. I like him a lot. I think he's both he and Guidry. I think the kids connect with those two guys.
100%. And as I was listening to you guys talk about Tyler Van Dyke, I was going to sort of segue into what Shannon Dawson brings. And I think what he brings for Tyler Van Dyke is a level of comfort. I just don't think it ever looked comfortable for Tyler Van Dyke last year. And then obviously the injuries threw everything out of whack. But, you know, Shannon Dawson had hosted him on the podcast Behind the U, did like an hour with him. He's awesome. Did the same with Coach Guidry. And I think they both played a sort of the strength of their side of the ball. So for Coach Dawson, Joe, this is something we used to always talk about with basketball, right? There's only so much you can do in a given week. And so let's master our system. Let's cut it back instead of inflate it and become really good at having all the answers inside of our playbook. Kind of like when we would talk about the North Carolina basketball offense or even the Syracuse defense, right? Like, we have to only know what we do and what we do well. And then when they throw something at us, we've mastered these amount of plays so well that no matter what they throw at us, we have the answer. And I think it also allows for some freedom for Tyler to adjust to what he sees. Some freedom, not like, I'm not like, I don't want a breaking news alert. Josh Darrow says that Tyler Van Dyke can do whatever he wants. No. But I do think, like, within the offense, there are some checks and calls that Tyler can make. I think he can make it with the receivers as well. And I think what you will see, and I don't know if you'll see it with Tyler, but I think this offense, as you increase the repetition, as you increase years in the system, I think it becomes that much more lethal, so to speak. And I think with Lance Guidry, you know, you guys, I think Alex was talking about length on the back end in the secondary, and that is clearly different. But I think Lance Guidry also understands a little bit what Manny Diaz understood, which is like, you got to do some stuff up front to disrupt the offensive line and the quarterback. Like, we have to be the ones that are dictating sort of the style of play. And he's going to do everything he can. He said it on the podcast, which is he's trying to screw with the brain trust. And the brain trust is the center, the two guards, and the quarterback. What can they do from a movement standpoint? What can they do disguising looks and coverages, pre-snap, post-snap, to just challenge that side of the ball and just make it that much harder for them to operate effectively? So I do like what Mario Cristobal has done. And I'll say this as well. I think you got to give Mario Cristobal a lot of credit. Like, he understood it didn't work last year. And we always ask coaches to be sort of self-aware, adjustments, whatever word we want to throw out there. And he did that. And to me, he should be applauded for it. He should be applauded for not only the fact that he made changes, but the type of guys he made changes for. And I haven't been around those guys a lot, but I've been around with them a little bit and enough to know, being around this as long as we've done it, Joe, I do agree with what you said, that I think the kids like the coaches. I think it's helped inside the locker room. And I also think the systems they run on their side of the ball, I think will benefit their units.
I think it's funny, interesting, Alex, that I was saying on Van Dyke for a moment, picking what Josh said, Coach Guidry has said, all right, look, I want to find out what we do best. What these kids like to do is pressure, rush the quarterback. So that means every day Van Dyke is seeing somebody in his face, and he has landed some great passes. So they're getting good pressure on him, but he has made some great plays.
Yeah, so not only does Tyler have the opportunity to go up against a really aggressive defense in practice, which is going to make him sharper, but personnel-wise, Miami, Cristobal and company doing what they can to give Tyler more comfort this year. When you make the changes that they made on the offensive line, adding guys like Matt Lee, and oh my god, what a hidden gem Lee was. I mean, I know he comes from a pretty big program in UCF, but I'm surprised more people weren't talking about this guy because he seems like an incredible player. Javion Cohen obviously was not a great secret coming from Alabama. Everybody knows how good he is. And Maui Noah, the true freshman who may end up starting at right tackle, has looked really good. So they're fortifying the offensive line. They give TVD more weapons to throw to in the passing game. And, you know, the running back room, it's looking pretty good right now. We'll see how things play out. And I'll tell you, Joe, somebody who's definitely gotten my attention and gotten the attention of his teammates so far, if I can go off on a little tangent here, is Mark Fletcher. I mean, Mark Fletcher, you know, we knew what he did at American Heritage, and he looks to me, he's already got elite size. He's 6'1", about 223 pounds, and it seems like he's running downhill in practices so far, and a lot of his teammates have had good things to say about him.
Joe, let me jump in here for 1 second since we're doing the round. We're doing a roundtable type thing here, so let me just kind of participate in this process and pick up with what Alex said. First of all, Mark Fletcher is like everything you want, and if you're where this program's trying to go, you need guys that look like Mark Fletcher and can run like Mark Fletcher. And I think Mark Fletcher is going to play this year. But more importantly, relative to Shannon Dawson, let's make no mistake about this. Yes, air raid principles came up in that offense, etc. He wants to run the football. They want to run the football. Running the football will be an important part of this offense, and it will only help the passing concepts inside the offense and the offensive line. If it stays healthy, the ones are good. The offensive line has to stay healthy, but it could be a definite strength. But they will. It's not going to be 60 passes. I mean, maybe there's a game, right? But this is not a 60-pass Mike Leach throw offense. They're going to want to run the football. That part of Shannon Dawson's playbook has evolved over the years as he's grown as an offensive coordinator, and I also think that was part of sort of the marriage with him and Mario, right? That there is definitely – there is synergy there, and that is going to be a part of the offense. And I don't think – even last year with Josh Gattis, it didn't work, and what he did at Michigan, I always said, hey, if you can run the football, that makes everything – even if you want to throw the football, if you can run it, that opens up everything and makes it that much more easier on your quarterback. So I like Miami in their ability to run the football this year, and I think that's going to hopefully should be an asset.
I mentioned this earlier in the show. 2 years ago at Houston, they were sixth in the nation in time of possession. Top 10 running an air raid offense in time of possession. But by the way, while he wants to run the football, he's not afraid to let Van Dyke or his other quarterbacks air it out deep.
No, not at all. Yeah. Of course, absolutely not. But I think people, I don't know what people think of what his offense is supposed to be and look like, because they hear air raid and they just think it's just going to be, you know, five plays on a napkin and we're going to, you know, throw it all over the yard. I think he has adjusted as college football has adjusted, and even inside of his offense, and I think he understands what the running game can do with those paired with those air raid concepts. So to me, that's just a plus. And by the way, I saw this quote from Phil Longo, who used to be the UNC coordinator, now went to Wisconsin. So I assume it was at some media, you know, availability recently. And he basically said, look, when you get down to the red zone, like, you better be able to run the football. Like, you better be able to lean on those big dudes up front because the field gets really short, and you better overpower some people. And that's been a problem for Miami in the past. I do think that has a chance to be different.
Yeah, no.
If I can jump in, Joe, I think there's other ways, and that's a great point by Josh, other ways where Dawson is adapting to Miami's personnel, because I remember him saying this shortly after he was hired in one of his first media availabilities, that his time in Houston, West Virginia, wherever he's been, he's never had a tight end room like the one he thinks he has here at Miami with a lot of talent on it. So I'm curious to see how he gets the tight ends more involved as well, because I think that's something we're going to see a lot of, and creative ways to use these guys, right? Because you have somebody like Jaleel Skinner, who's 6'6". You know, he's working on his inline blocking, but he's more of a natural receiver. And then you also have a guy like Cam McCormick, who, you know, had been with Mario before and Coach Woodle before, and, you know, he's more of a natural blocker, maybe not as much of a pass catcher. So he's going to find ways to get a lot of these guys on the field and use them in creative ways.
Yeah, Arroyo, Skinner, Riley Williams, McCormick, and Jackson Carver. To Josh's point, when you're in the red zone, to be a good red zone team requires two things: run the ball well, or be really creative and trick people. And Miami has not been a very good red zone team. Maybe 2 years ago they were under Lashley, but for the most part, they haven't been a great red zone team. They haven't been a great great running team. And, you know, to expand on the topic of the strategy for a moment, I mean, I'll just go back to Coach L in the Sweet 16. Miami was playing Houston, and he broke the strategy down simple to his team. He said, look, here's how Houston scores. 50% of their points they score in the paint or off of turnovers. So we are going to play the paint, pack the paint, and protect the ball. At halftime, Houston had no paint points and no points off of turnovers. Now, how does that affect football? I don't know if it did or did not last year, but I do think Guidry and Dawson will be guys that will be able to very clearly show their units, the strength and weakness of the opponent and find a way to attack it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't disagree.
Going back to Guidry, real quick, guys, I know with Guidry and Josh, you talked a little bit about how, you know, you want to confuse the brain trust of the opposing offense. Talking to defensive players in all phases so far, we spoke to four linebackers today, for example, four of the veterans, and they all say to a man, they love the unpredictability of their defense. I mean, Wes Bissaint told us it's been a really fun scheme to learn, and it's a fun system to play in so far, because really all of the onus has been on trying to confuse the opposing offense. They're not going to know where you're coming from or even when you're coming from in that D.
So just to shed some light on the conversations I had with both Coach Dawson and Coach Guidry, and I taped them on separate days, but they both said something very interesting, and it mimicked each other, and I thought it made me stop for a second and go, damn, this is pretty on point. And what they both said was, they both talked separately about the importance of the third quarter. And what they said was, and I thought this, now there's some wait and see, because this is something to sort of watch and observe. But basically they both said, essentially, you game plan all week. You come up, you study the other team, strengths and weaknesses, and you kind of configure your game plan to marry what you think will work against the other team. And then you go and you play the game. And sometimes those teams show what they showed on film. Sometimes those teams, just like you, will tweak what they've shown on film, and they're going to show you something different. So then what it becomes is who, on what side of the ball, what coordinator, what staff, can identify what those things are quickly, who can communicate those adjustments to their team, and who can figure out how to execute. And that's when the real football starts. And Coach Guidry said something like last year at Marshall, I think it was something like 9 out of 12 third quarters was a shutout. And Coach Dawson basically said the same thing about how he wants to attack the third quarter and putting points on the board. And so I do think there's a part of this sport, whether it's the quarterback position, linebacker, safeties, whatever you want to call it, right? It goes beyond talent. And I call it like computer chips. Like, who can process this game? Who can process the game in a way that it shows up on the field? That could be coaches. That could be support staff. That could be players. Because at some point, you really have to diagnose what's being actively shown to you, what you're seeing. And if you're Tyler Van Dyke, you're processing stuff in like less than 2 seconds, right? So I do think with the systems you run, if your playbook's a little smaller, you can more confidently go to things and make adjustments and get your players to understand what you want to do than when we're sort of grasping at something bigger. And I thought those were really, really curious observations they both made, and something I'll be really looking forward to this season, just to see how that all unfolds.
What do you guys think about, I guess, one of the headlines in camp? Yeah, it's not full time. It's moving James Williams down to outside linebacker, so basically he can go wreck the quarterback, which is a natural evolution. James Williams has to get the guy on the ground. He's so big, I think at times he thinks he can shoulder people to the ground. It would be behoove him to actually get them on the ground and in the dirt. But I do think, that's going to be part of his arsenal, kind of like the kid that was at Clemson a couple years ago who played at all three levels. James Williams has that ability. The final ingredient of that is put him on the ground.
Yeah, because Joe, you know this, Josh knows this. Physically, James Williams is a unicorn. I mean, he has the range and quickness and coverage ability and instincts to play in the defensive backfield, but he's also got the size to play linebacker. So, for Guidry, the opportunity to have someone who's, a really big, strong, physically gifted Swiss Army knife who he can plug in at multiple levels, I think that goes back to this whole concept of confusing opposing offenses, that being able to move a guy like James around can do that. And when we had availability with James last week, we asked him about that, And, you know, he seems to be excited to play wherever he's called upon to play in this defense. And he told us, I wasn't surprised at all when Guidry, you know, talked to him about playing some outside linebacker on occasions. Because, you know, James said to us, you know, it's inevitable with his body, and he's only going to keep getting bigger. He's probably not going to get smaller from this point. That with the evolution of his body, at some point he's going to be playing more downs. And even maybe some point years in the future, he might be a full-time outside linebacker. So it seems like he's embracing this. But it definitely, I mean, Josh, it puts a lot of responsibility on Williams. I mean, not only to, you know, like Joe was mentioning, you know, try to tighten up the tackling a little bit. And, you know, I kind of wonder, I know he was playing at least part of the year through a shoulder injury last year, so I wonder how much of an effect that might have had on it. But, you know, also he's got a big responsibility on his plate to learn a number of different roles. So it looks like he's embracing that and he's excited for it.
Well, I think it speaks to maybe, you know, a couple of things. One, how Coach Guidry, you know, wants to, you know, displace his personnel. I think it speaks to trying to use your personnel in the best way. Now, I think there are some other things at hand here to watch, which would be, you know, the depth at that position is a bit of a concern, right? They're still trying to figure out who plays behind those guys, which would be Cam and James. I also obviously by bolstering the other part of that room at the, you know, I think you mentioned Jadeus Richard before. They're really high on Jaden Davis, the kid from St. Thomas in Oklahoma. So I think, you know, in some of those nickel packages that will help. And then I think maybe James, I don't know this to be true, but, like, you know, James is a third year guy, right? So a little bit of an awakening of, like, all right, yeah, you know, I got to perform here. And, you know, I'm sure he wants what everyone wants that goes to college and is a big-time guy. He wants to go to the next level. So, all right, James, let's sit down. Let's have a conversation. Let's figure out what you can do best. Let's figure out how we think we can showcase you the best. And that's, you know, we need you to sort of now own it. And it also allows him to get a little bit bigger down in the box and have a little more flexibility. So, I do like those things, but at the safety position, there's definitely some rooms that have added speed, size, and depth, and there's still some parts on this team that we still need some more time.
By the way, we'll wrap it up with this. Picking up on what you just said, Josh, there are two players on this defense that are in their third year that if Miami wants to jump to the next level, it would be helpful if these two players, one would be James Williams, and Dono mentioned it, I do think he was bothered by the injury last year, and Leonard Taylor. If those two guys play like Cam Kitchens, like an All-American, Miami will have something on defense, and that will add to their win total. Those two guys take the big leap and play up to their, whatever, star level, that would dramatically help the University of Miami this year.
So I don't disagree, and I was actually talking my kids, especially the one that plays football, like, loves recruiting, loves the Kings, loves following all this stuff, All-Americans, who's going to get drafted. You know, he still sees it through that somewhat, you know, sort of honest and genuine lens. And we were actually talking about Leonard Taylor the other day, and who might be a first-round pick. Well, he's got to do it, but, like, he's got all the makings of one. I mean, he's put on more weight. I saw him the other day off campus, and he looked noticeably bigger than last year. And he is strong, and anyone who's been around him, high school coaches, whatever, strong, fast, quick, good athlete. Like, you would think that this scheme would fit his skill set perfectly. But yes, Joe, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we always like talking about the new faces. Transfer portal tweaks that a little bit because some of those new faces are older guys. But at the end of the day, it's the guys that have been in your program, the guys that are the most experienced, the guys that are supposed to be the veterans, and the guys that have the most talent. If you're going to win, you're winning with those guys. Yep. And those three that you mentioned is a great place to start. But it has to happen, right? Because if it's not happening with them, I think it'd be hard-pressed to happen with the other part of that group.
Yeah, and in the case of Leonard Taylor, the analytics love him. Now, I'm not strictly an analytics guy. I try to evaluate things with, like, a combination of eye test, what coaches think of players, and, you know, statistics. But statistically, you know, the Pro Football Focus people, for example, you know, they consider LT to be, you know, one of the top three or four returning defensive tackles in the entire country. You know, he was probably a little bit underutilized last year, so I think there's going to be an opportunity for him to get a higher snap count this year and more responsibility for him on that defensive line, similarly to how I think James Williams is going to have more responsibility in the safety backfield and maybe some at linebacker as well. And I think for LT, it's just about living up to it consistently. And, you know, Josh, you talked about how he's put size on his body. He's doing that very scientifically. So, you know, he was telling us, it was either, I guess it must have been last week, because that was the first week of practice. He was telling us in a scrum that, you know, he's got there's a chef who will prepare out his meals every week, and they're strictly based on the exact amount of nutrition to meet his, you know, his personalized nutritional needs for him to put on quality body weight. So it seems like that's working, and he's taking this very, very seriously to go out there and have a big year this year.
Hey, Joe, let me just throw one thing in here. I was just thinking about this while you guys were talking. So in this defense, right, which I'm not a football coach, but I believe there are some similarities to when Manny Diaz first got here. I'm not telling you it's all the same. I'm not that kind of guy. But if we're going to look at Leonard Taylor, and I know it didn't work out in terms of where they ultimately got at the next level, but if we're talking about in college, on the field, in terms of performance, if Leonard Taylor puts up the kind of numbers that Gerald Willis did,
yeah,
this defense will have a great season.
Yeah. Well, he's got a guy next to him pushing him. This kid, guy Branson Dean, has got a great personality and is really pushing Leonard Taylor. He said Reuben Bain's the best freshman he's ever been around, but Dean has played a lot of football, and I think he can, you know, he probably doesn't have the same talent as Taylor or Bain, but he brings these other intangibles of just wanting, you know, I think he's one of those guys that is happy when someone else has success. So I think that's going to be an important cog for Miami on defense. At any rate, this was good. I enjoyed this. We have Josh Darrow, our sideline reporter. And also, you can hear Josh on Behind the U podcast. How can they hear that?
So it's pretty much available on any podcast streaming format, you know, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, I don't even know what else is out there, but I go to Apple, it's right on my phone, it's easy. There's also a link on the Hurricanes website. You just go to miamihurricanes.com/podcast. I think we're just north of 125 episodes, and next up in the queue, we've got Vernon Carey and Leonard Hankerson, who is now the wide receiver coach with the San Francisco 49ers.
Wow.
So they both told great stories, and actually Hankerson's past to the 49ers job is really interesting and has ties to Miami, and I'll just leave it at that so you can, when it pops up in the next week or two, you can put the whole story together. So the guys, like Shannon Dawson, Lance Guidry, those guys were phenomenal, and I really, if you're honestly, like, forget me, like, if you just want to get really understand kind of who they are, what kind of personalities they have, how they look at the game, how they formulated their systems, they really kind of open that up in the podcast, so this is the time of year when everyone starts to get frothing a little bit. They're definitely worth a listen. Those guys were really, really good.
And Alex Dono is our post-game host and is the anchor of Locked On Canes, and he's killing it as well. Dono, how can people watch all your stuff?
Yeah, thanks so much, Joe. We're available on a lot of the same platforms that Josh's show, and he does a great job. You know, we get us Locked On Canes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, maybe Stitcher. I'm not even sure what Stitcher is. I think we're on the Odyssey app as well.
I might have made it up.
We're available
I don't know.
On YouTube.
Is that a real platform? I might have just made it up.
No, it is a real platform. I'm not even sure if I'm on it. Maybe we're both on it. I don't know. But no, and yeah, we talk Canes, primarily football, but when basketball season gets rolling again, we talk basketball as well. A lot of fall camp breakdowns, a lot of recruiting talk, and we've been trying to follow all this conference realignment stuff as well. So you can get us every day at Locked On Canes.
Oh, geez. Are we on next week for that, Joe?
Yeah, we'll do realignment next week, because by next week, Miami might be in the Big Ten. The Big 20.
We would definitely, if you have me on, we will break the format. That much I know, because I'm just, my mind is It's got a lot of thoughts. I'll just put it to you that it's got a lot of interesting thoughts about what in the world is going on.
Well, you guys have podcasts. I don't have a podcast. I'll just be here every Tuesday night on the Hurricane Hotline. Or if there's a conflict with the Panthers or Heat, we're on another night. But that's my podcast. At any rate, I'm looking forward to a Hurricane Hotline all year, having you guys join me on the show. Of course, on September the 1st, Friday night, we've got our first game against Miami of Ohio. And in a blink of an eye, that'll be here.
Well, I want to say, you know, I know, Josie, you're not always a fan of the scheduling gods, but I actually want to thank either the ACC or Miami this year, because our first game's on a Friday and our second game's on a Thursday, which means those two Saturdays I can watch my son play football, so I'm freaking thrilled.
Third game is on a Thursday. The second game is on a Saturday.
No, well, Jesus Christ, dude. Well, okay, all right, whatever. Yeah. Two of the first three games I can have a Saturday off to watch my son play football.
Two out of the three.
There we go. Two out of the three. By the way, I just want to real quick. So my son plays football. I'm at his practice. I just dropped one from doing all this. I took one home from basketball. I'm at football practice with my other son. And just to tie this all together, my son plays 13U for South Miami Grey Ghosts. In this park, there's an 8U team, and the head coach of the 8U team is former Miami tight end Standard Dobard.
Oh, wow. About that? I remember him.
Or Standish Dobar. Standish Dobar. I'm sorry. So Stan is in this park every night, and it's always good to see him.
All right. All right. I'll see you guys on the practice field.
See, I'll shut up now and be quiet and let you go to break.
All right. Thanks, all right. Alex, thanks a lot. See you, Josh. See you on the practice field. All right, Alex Dono, Josh Darrow joining us. Let's talk about Williamson Buick GMC. You can get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new GMC from Williamson Buick GMC. New GMCs at Williamson every single day. It's like an assembly line. They just open the door, and here come the GMCs. So what that means for you is they're going to have the GMC that you are looking for. A Canyon, an Acadia, a Terrain, a Sierra, a Yukon. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle with a new GMC from your premier GMC dealership, Williamson Buick GMC. Easy to find, located on US 1, just south of the Palmetto. GMC, we are professional grade.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.